It's North Zone 1's Red Friday.
This is Dave Galloway with the first ever Red Friday Extra podcast. I've been having a chat with former Open champion Aberdeen's Paul Laurie. We spoke about everything from looking ahead to the Open Championship at Carnoustie to his injury issues, the Dons, and even the launch of Paul's Whiskey. It's an entertaining listen.
Red Friday with ESWL, a local procurement company with a global client base.
Okay, Paul, you've got a whiskey with your name on it. How's that come about?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's something I've always wanted, obviously. I think whiskey and golf kind of goes together. I'm someone who's always played around the world, and obviously whiskey is a very popular drink, not just in Scotland, but, you know, wherever you go. So it's a great tie-up for me. The Loch Lomond Whiskey are the new official spirit of the Open. And then we had I don't know if I made contact or they made contact. They were obviously quite keen on having a past Open champion as an ambassador. And with Carnoustie coming up, they're going to take out a limited edition signature bottle with my signature on it for sale. So it's absolutely cool for me. I'm really enjoying it.
And they're also supporting your Par 3 championship as well.
Yeah, they're putting up a whole cask of whiskey for any professional who holds on one at the fifth. So you get 200 bottles out of one of these casks. So we're going to make a nice little display for them up on the tee. It's really good of them to come on board and support our Par 3 event.
The Par 3 Championship, it's going from strength to strength. How much are you looking forward to this year?
Yeah, last year was our first year really of kind of doing it. We did it a few years ago on a small scale, but last year was our first real go putting it on telly. It was on Sky Sports, and I think everyone enjoyed it. Everyone loved it. The idea is just for us to showcase what we've got here. People don't know what we've got. They just think it's a little par 3 course, and you know it is a par 3 course, but it's so much more than that. So the idea is just to build the tournament every year. We've got a few more tour players playing this year, and really excitingly, we've got a lot of ladies European tour players playing this year. We've got 7 already confirmed. There's a few more still to be confirmed. So the thing's growing year by year, and we're really enjoying it.
This is probably one of your favourite times of the year, isn't it? Because there's so much going on. There's the Par 3 Championship. There's also your annual Challenge Match. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Challenge Match has been going for quite a few years now. We've had some fantastic people that have supported it for me. Jose Maria Lathabaugh was the first. You know, we've had Darren Clark, Paul McGinley, Jean Vandeveld. And this year we've got Thomas Bjorn coming, the Ryder Cup captain. The old Grumpy Dane himself. So looking forward to playing with Thomas. We always have a great time when we play together. So there'll be good fun for people. It's free entry, you know, free car parking. Again, we wanted to try and lay an event on that anyone who was a member and who isn't a member, not even that be a golfer, just to come along and have some fun and watch Thomas and I play 9 holes. And then we've got Jeff Swain coming to do a trick show for us afterwards. He was the World Trick Show champion a few years ago. Great guy, and his show is incredible. So if anyone's anywhere near the Paul Laurie Golf Centre that day, they should pop along.
Yeah, an interesting clash of personalities then between yourself and Thomas.
It's good, yeah. We always have Darren Clark, Thomas and I kind of started about the same time, and we kind of spend quite a bit of time together when we're away. Three of us are pretty good pals. So the day I played Clarkie, it was unbelievable. The banter was just flowing. I mean, everyone just loved it. And it'll be the same with Thomas. You know, we rib each other quite a lot. But we've also got a huge amount of respect for each other's golf game and what we've achieved in the game. So we'll have a good laugh, but there'll be a good match on Vol 2 because Thomas's short game is very, very handy. So I'll have to play well to beat him around here.
We've also got the Scottish Open, which is just around the corner now, looming ever larger on the horizon for you to clinch that. It would be like completing the set, wouldn't it? Because you've kind of won everything else in Scotland.
Well, it'd be nice to have a Scottish Open on my CV. I've always said that if I'd like to win one more event before I pack in, it would be that one. You know, it's your home Open. It's a very important tournament for the Scottish boys to put up a good show in front of the home fans. The only other bigger event that's played in Scotland golf-wise is the Open when it's in Scotland. So the Scottish Open's very, very important for everyone, not just the Scottish players. And the crowds will be great, you know, so I'm hoping to be fit for that. I'm not fit at the moment, but I'm hoping to be fit for Scottish Open. Then, of course, the Open's at Carnoustie the week after, so 2 massive weeks.
Just tell us about the foot. How are things?
The foot's not good at all at the moment. I've not played. I played Madrid and Morocco, which I think was about a month ago. I've hardly played or hit balls since. I've been really struggling with it. My back's not in a good way either. Now I've got a herniated disc in my back, right side of my back, so I'm really struggling. Lower right back and left foot. But apart from that, I'm fine, Dave, to be fair. So it's not been a good spell. So I'm just hoping to get these things cleared up. But you got to take your time. You know, you can't go back too early. And I'm getting treatment at the moment from the physio here. So hopefully we're going to get that sorted out.
I guess the only way to face it is with a smile on your face. Just try and have a laugh and enjoy yourself.
Well, I mean, the good thing for me is, you know, I'm 49 years of age. I've played 610 events or something, you know, over a 30-year period. You know, I'm kind of, if this was, all these injuries were happening when I was 25 or 30, I think it would be really, really frustrating and I'd be getting quite angry. But, man, it's, you know, I've played a lot of golf. I've been lucky enough to do the job I've always loved for, you know, I've been on tour 27 years. So now that's happening now, it's not a huge issue. I'd like to play, don't get me wrong, because it's what I do. But the seniors is my next big, you know, I need to be fit for January when I turn 50. I think I could be a really good senior. I still hit the ball the same distance, but I need to get some of these injuries out of the way. It's been 5 or 6 years now where I've really, really struggled to be fit enough to play tournaments. So I need to get it all sorted out.
All right, so the only sort of cure is just plenty rest and pick your tournaments carefully.
The foot, certainly. I don't think the foot's ever going to change. It's just slowly getting worse. So I need to pick my schedule as good as I can. But I need to get this disc in my back sorted out. That's not great. That's been bugging me for well over a year now. So I need to get that sorted out. Because some days it's okay and some days it's not. So I need to get that sorted.
We've touched on the Open Championship. Obviously, it's a very, very special event for you. The scene of arguably your greatest triumph. And you're returning to Carnoustie as well. Can you believe it's nearly 30 years since that amazing achievement?
Nearly 20 years, yeah. It's 20 years next year.
I think. 20, sorry.
That's all right. I'm old enough as it is, Dave. You don't need to put 10 years on me, you know. No, it is amazing to think back and that it was 19 coming up 20 years ago. Sometimes when I get out of bed in the morning, I feel as though it's 50 years ago, but it is 20 years. It's amazing how time's gone past. It'd be nice to go back because I'm going to try my best to be fit for that week, and if I'm not fit if I'm not playing, then I'll be there, you know, doing some stuff for bits and pieces, sponsors and companies. So it'd be nice to be there to sample the kind of atmosphere of it by playing. But if I'm not, then we'll just kind of see what happens.
The memories are still vivid, I'm sure. Obviously, the Van de Velde moment is always brought up. Do you still remember that very clearly?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a very dramatic finish, you know, in the regulation play and in the playoff. Obviously, it was just mayhem. There was people everywhere, and it was really, really exciting. And you had to keep calm and focus on your job. And you know, people are obviously were getting really, really excited that, you know, a Scottish player had a chance to win, you know, the Open and on Scottish soil. But my job was just to stay calm, and I managed to do that. And obviously, John and I have always gotten on, you know, really, really well. We've always had a great relationship. He came and did my foundation dinner for us a couple of years ago. He's a great guy. You know, and the way it happened was the way it happened. You know, there's not much you can do about it. He hasn't played much golf, you know, either. He's been struggling with injuries and he's retired now, so he doesn't play an awful lot. But him and I have always gotten on really well.
Yeah, watching the drama unfolding on the telly, it was amazing just to see you come from so far back. I mean, what was going through your mind at the time? Was it just focus on the next shot?
Yeah, you're in your little zone, you're in your little kind of pocket, as you were. You're just trying to do as well as you can each hole. And I knew, obviously, as soon as I got to 12 or 13, the crowd were starting to swell. The cameras were now on me, which they weren't the first nine. So, you know, you're going well. You know, you're kind of getting closer and closer. And I'm a leaderboard looker. I'm not someone who doesn't look. I like to know where I am. I think you've got to change your game plan if things are changing on the leaderboard. I don't understand how people can't look. I mean, I think it's quite hard not to look. So I knew exactly the situation I was in. It was really exciting. But obviously, like I said, my job was to kind of do the best I could and make sure I didn't hash it up when I had my one real, could have been my only opportunity to win a major tournament. You got to get it right at the time, which I think we did.
Obviously, another thing that's very close to your heart is the Dandy Dons. What do you make of the season just past? A remarkable achievement, surely, to get second place 4 years in a row.
Yeah, I think they obviously did extremely well. Again, you know, it was a nice finish to the year. Certainly since the split, you know, they played some lovely stuff and got a lot of points on the board. I would imagine, you know, Rangers are going to be a little stronger, you know, next year. Already they've signed, you know, a couple of really experienced, you know, good players, and We just haven't got the budget that they've got. So if they could use their budget properly, you know, they should be ahead of us, but, you know, they weren't again last year. So it was a great achievement, you know, by the boys, because really, second, I think a lot of people understand that that's the best that you can do at the minute. You'd like to think that you could win it, but realistically, with the budget Celtic have got, I don't think you can, and the players have got. But like any underdog, you know, they always give it a go and they always give it their best. And I mean, I love going along. I've always been an Aberdeen fan. Me and the boys and Marion, we go every game if I'm home, and even if they're away, you know, we get tickets and off we go.
And just to mention about talking about Aberdeen, Sir Alex, terribly sad to see him taking ill, but thank goodness he appears to be battling back now.
Yeah, it was a real shock. Obviously, we've known Sir Alex for a long, long time, and text him now and again, and he's always been, again, great with his time for my foundation. He's always been brilliant. He came and did our dinner a couple of years ago, and it was a real shock when I saw on Twitter that he fell ill. But thankfully, you know, there seems to be signs of him talking and getting back to his kind of his good old self. So hopefully the road to recovery he's on.
I mean, he's such an inspiration, isn't he? I'm sure you've tapped into that inspiration to help you.
Yeah, I spoke to him quite a bit, you know, over the years on text, or met up with him at Old Trafford when he's invited us down. And he's just one of these guys that as soon as you're in his company, you know, you learn something straight away. You know, some of the stuff that he managed to achieve with the players that he had at the time at Aberdeen, running about the early 80s, is just some of his best work. It's probably a little easier when you're working with players of the quality of Ronaldo and Rooney and these boys. So to win a European Cup with a team that he had, and all homegrown, all Scottish, just amazing. So he's always been my hero. He's always been the guy that I've looked up to the most, Sir Alex and Sandy Lyle. So to be able to spend some time with them now and again is just magnificent.
Paul, thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Red Friday with ESWL, a local procurement company with a global client base.